Good evening. Monarch is kind of a special treat, isn't it? Special for us all to be together like this. There's no other place quite like it. And I guess special most of all because the Lord's willing to pass by our way. It's what we desire more than anything. Thank you, Brother Dan. My name's Rod Smith. I worship with the congregation in LaRonger. And there's a verse that says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And that's how I feel tonight. I desire an interest in your prayers. Really desire the Lord to especially meet with us tonight. I want to be an empty vessel that the Lord can work through. I'd like to write a couple things on the board, and I wonder if somebody can sing a verse or two of that song. I believe it's titled, Search Me, O God. Somebody have that? Just as clay is in the hands of the potter, that we would be lives in the hands of a master to cleanse us, help us, make right all of those places that perhaps are causing spiritual darkness, spiritual uncertainty, spiritual separation, spiritual distance. I want peace and I want rest in my soul. And that's what Jesus came to do for every single one of us. Wherever you are tonight, whatever your background is, whatever you have experienced in life, Jesus Christ came to call your name. I think about Monarch, and I think about these, think about this pulpit and all the messages that have been preached all down through the years. I think about these altars and they look really familiar. I believe I prayed at them a lot of times. Maybe contributed to some of the varnish that's missing on top. And I think about all the people all down through the years that have wondered and asked themselves the question, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And as the sands of time have passed, that question and that heart desire is still the most relevant, the most personal, the most eternal question that continues to be present in all of our lives, sometimes before we recognize that's what we're wrestling with. Thankfully, there's an answer. Have you ever asked for yourself, what else must I do to be saved? What must I do? I know what the scriptures say. Maybe you say that in your heart. I know what I've been taught. But Lord, is there something in my life? Is there something I'm missing? Is there something that I need to do so that when my name is called and when the end of the way comes for me, perhaps at a very uncertain time, that I can be ready to go? Have you ever asked yourself, what else, Lord, must I do to be saved? I've written that on the board, what else? It's the title tonight, my thought. I'd like to start by reading a most poignant account in the 10th chapter of Mark. And there's also the same, very similar account in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Might use some of the words from both accounts. And it is an account that reaches, I believe, the heart. My Bible says, at the head of this passage, it says, how to obtain eternal life. And that question captures my attention. How to obtain the most valuable thing that could ever be obtained by anyone. And when I open my Bible and it says that as a subheading, how to obtain eternal life, it captures my attention. It strikes home. I hope it does to you. So let's read. It says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and he kneeled to him, and he asked him, good master, what shall I do? Not, what shall people do? What shall this city do? But, good master, what is it that I must do to inherit eternal life? It said he came running, and it said that he kneeled. He was serious. He had a sense of urgency. It was not a casual request. What am I interested in drinking today? What am I going to do this afternoon before dinner? But he came running and he kneeled down to demonstrate, Lord God, what is it that I must do? Do you know that it's still okay to come running? I remember seeing people run when I was young. Don't you? Some of the older ones. Running to the altars. It's okay to still run to the altar. Yeah. And kneel before God. And pour out your heart, Lord, what must I do? to obtain eternal life. I want to be serious too. Whatever it takes. Whatever is required. Whatever it means. I want to be willing to do it. Not just say it. But I want to be willing to live my life in a way that demonstrates that there's fruit backing up that testimony. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." And it seems to me that implied and pretty directly that the Lord in essence covered all of the human to human ethics related commandments. Did you notice that? And he covered all of those and told them this is what those commandments are. And I don't think that he was trying to leave one of those types of commandments out that demonstrate how to interact with people. To where he would say, "Oh, you know what? I gotcha. You missed number 7, part 1, subsection C, paragraph double I." The Lord doesn't do that. The enemy tries to do that. Tries to get us to be so uncertain about where we are with so many things, and tries to confuse the plan of salvation, and tries to come, and those that have been able to get a hold of Jesus, the enemy tries to come and to steal and to kill and destroy with uncertainty, darkness, and lots of words and many things and what ifs. And that is not what Jesus Christ brought. And I don't believe that he was trying to trip up the man with these sorts of things. And it seemed like that the young man believed he was keeping these types of commandments. And yet there was something missing. There was still a void. There was an emptiness. There was an absence of peace. And it wasn't what he thought it was going to be, perhaps. And caused him to earnestly inquire, "Lord, I'm trying to keep these things, but something doesn't feel right. Lord, what must I do?" And I feel like tonight that perhaps we've all asked that question. Maybe somebody here tonight. Maybe you're asking that question too on some level. "Lord, is everything okay? Lord, there's something that I'm not quite sure I can't quite put my finger on it. But it doesn't feel or sound like the darkness of the enemy. It feels like you're trying to speak to my soul, and I'm not sure what it is." I've written on the board, it's a little busy, but bear with me. The commandments, 1 through 10, it started off with, we read of the 10 commandments, but there was a lot of them. There was a lot of commandments under the law. There were so many commandments under the law that it made their eyes cross too. And there were so many commandments that one of them was to offer a sacrifice for the ones that you couldn't keep. And I believe that the Lord wanted us to come to the place where we realized our great need of Him. That we weren't able to follow a list that was volumes long and that we came to the place where we realized the insufficiency in of ourselves and that we needed something more than that. But there's commandments and if you will tonight, because this is where we live, we don't live under the old law. We live in the new dispensation and we're blessed to have the New Testament to read and so we have the New Testament and if you'll allow me, there's things in the New Testament that are specific, like the Ten Commandments. And Jesus, He named out, blessed are those that are pure in heart, and blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are they that are merciful, because they'll obtain mercy. And we go through the New Testament, and we read some in the Christian Duty chapter about what's required and what'll keep us out of heaven. And this is what, if you will, this represents. But you know, sometimes we can get in a place in our life and we do the best that we know to do to understand what the Scriptures are saying. But life brings circumstances we never thought we would face. And life brings challenges to our spiritual understanding that we never thought we would face. And sometimes those things that we thought were so set, as we grow in the Lord, we start to wonder, Lord, what about this? Is there something else? Lord, I thought I was okay. Lord, I thought I was doing Your will in my life, in living like this. But Lord, I feel like I'm hearing something. Is there something else that's required of me? Lord, I know what this says, but is there something else? Lord, I know what brother and sister so-and-so say about how they believe they should live so that they can be in conformance to commandment X. Lord, would You help me understand? Lord, I'm not sure or possible. And these questions, the infinite number of these questions. There's an infinite number of questions that can come from so many lives that honest people are trying to find their way to Jesus. And it doesn't mean that they're bad or they're wrong or they've strayed because they're asking, what else? Lord, is this required of me? Lord, I want to be found pleasing to You. Maybe we get to the place where we're like this young man and we're following the best that we know. We just want to be sure. In verse 20, he said, Master, I've observed all of these things from my youth. Oh, then comes the moment that we all long for. Then Jesus beholding him. Did you know that Jesus beholds you tonight?
Yes, He does.
Did you know that you are not a lost individual in the midst of the masses? You are a living soul that is loved. And tonight the Lord is able, when I'm not and you're not, He's able to look out across this congregation and he beholds you. And he locks eyes with you, and he looks into your heart, and he knows.
That's right.
And he knows whether you're honest or not. Did you know that we can only find peace tonight if we're honest with ourselves? We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with God. We have to be brutally honest with ourselves. Would you be willing tonight to be honest with yourself? Can we agree tonight, Lord, I want to be honest with you tonight. Because whether we are or we're not, it doesn't change what God sees. And the Lord looks out and He beholds us. And He knows and He understands. And He sees the trouble places in your life. And He sees the things that you're having to deal with that nobody else sees. And He loves you.
Yes, He does.
He loves you.
Thank the Lord.
Wherever you are tonight, and whatever sins you may have in your life, and whatever the enemy may be whispering in your ear, oh yes, this is one of those messages. But we've been here before. That's for everybody else. Your window of opportunity is past. That's a lie. Jesus looks out tonight. And He sees you where you are and He loves you. And He cares. And He wants to see you make it to heaven. And He wants to be able to say to you, yes, you. If again the enemy is whispering in your ear, no, it's not me. Oh yes, it's you. He wants to be able to say to you, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Thank the Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that same Jesus here is the one that is beholding us tonight. And the Good Shepherd, yes. Yes, He brings truth. Yes, the New Testament, it brings those things that represent crosses in our lives sometimes. That's true. But Jesus Christ also brings grace.
Yes,
He brought grace with truth.
Yes.
He brought forgiveness.
Yes.
He brought a helping hand.
Yes.
He brought love when we don't live in a lovable way.
Yes.
He brought help that is unmerited when we're undeserving of it. He brought a plan of salvation where when we get to the end of the way, Jesus can stand by our side and God the Father can see the righteousness of His Son versus our unrighteousness. To whosoever is willing to come with an open heart, with an earnestness, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And be willing and obedient to follow the voice of the Master. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come. Come where I am. Come with me. Come. I'm willing to receive you. To be with the Creator. Take up the cross that leads you to heaven and follow me. I don't think God ever intended for the plan of salvation to be complicated. Thank the Lord. He does not intend for the plan of salvation to be complicated. The enemy tries to complicate the plan of salvation. People complicate the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ does not complicate the plan of salvation. Difficult sometimes? Yes. Crosses involved? Yes. You're going to have a cross whomever you follow. There'll be a cross whichever path you take. I'd like to carry the cross with the one that can help me carry it. Yeah, there's some crosses, but complicated? Jesus Christ is not intending and does not complicate. This is not an obstacle course to see who it is that can figure out which way to go. And He's not going to tell you which way to go. You just got to figure it out on your own. That's not Jesus. That's the enemy that tells you that. And yet, sometimes we do wonder, Lord, am I missing something? And the Lord obliged with love, and He gently told the man what he was missing. And I feel like that, and this is the essence of my inspiration tonight, I feel like that the Lord so masterfully gave this man direction and gave an answer to everything that perhaps you don't find written with A, B, and C's in the Scripture. Those things that we validly raise our hand and say, I don't see this in the Scripture. Where is this? What do I do? And then I feel like that the Lord, in such a wonderful manner, gave not only this man direction, but us direction tonight. Listen again what He said. He said, you just lack. There's one thing that you're lacking. You need to go and you need to sell everything that you have and you need to give it to the poor, and then you can come and you can follow Me. Does it mean that the Lord wants all of us to go home and literally sell everything we have and get U.S. currency and then go give it to everyone on the street and then say, okay, Lord, here I am? Most of the time, probably not. Maybe in some cases. But implicit in this exhortation that Jesus gave, will you give me some liberty with just an illustration? I know that nowhere in the Bible does it say there's an 11th commandment, okay? But this is how I was inspired with it. 11th commandment or direction. We read what the New Testament says. Lord, I can't find it. I don't know. What else? Is this required? And the Lord says, see, commandment one and the commandment that is likened unto it. You didn't find it anywhere? You can't find it written in the Scripture? Here's what you do. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, body, mind, and strength. Be willing to sell out to Jesus Christ. And love your neighbor like yourself. Be willing to care about your fellow man as much as you are yourself. And in that order, love God first more than anything else. Jesus Himself said that all the commandments hung on those two, right? So maybe it's not so far off to say, if I can't find it here and I go to 11, the Lord says, how about go back up to number one and see also the second that's likened unto it. my life is about more than my life.
Yes.
It's bigger than that.
Yes.
It's about the plan of God that He wants to work in your life.
Amen.
And it's about other people.
Amen.
And He's looking for a people that are willing to raise their hand and say, I'll go.
Yes.
I'm all in.
Yes.
I'm willing to sell out.
Yes.
If it's not clearly covered in what it is that you're reading in the Scripture, with whatever question it is, let your love for God and for your fellow man be your guiding light.
Yes.
Paul said in the 9th chapter of Acts, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Yes.
On that road to Damascus that day.
Yes.
And Paul, Saul, he was so sure that he was right. He was so sure that he was doing God's will. He was so sure that he had it. He was so sure that what he was doing was founded on a rock. And in the meantime, he was causing damage. And the Lord came along and said, you need to do a 180-degree turn. I want to fill you with my Spirit. We heard about that this morning. I have a house for you to build, but you're going to have to be willing to sell out. You're going to have to be willing to empty out. You're going to have to be willing to give me time and space in your life that I can do my will through your life. Does it get close? Yes, it gets close. But it answers so many questions that we may have. We may not understand everything all the time. We won't.
That's right.
We're on a journey.
Right.
We're going to grow in grace. Don't be discouraged if you don't understand everything.
Yes.
Be concerned if you realize you don't love God more than anything else. But when there's questions that aren't answered, don't be dismayed. If you start to get off a little bit, God is a loving God and a shepherd that comes and He says, this way, my child. And if we get off a little bit, that voice will come along and it will move us back to where Jesus Christ wants us. Because that's what we want. Because that's what God wants. He came to bring rest to us. And there's something else, folks. This what else up here? It is not always something else to do. Seems like a spiritual thing, though. The more we do, the more spiritual we are. Sometimes the what else Jesus is asking us, you can release that. You can let go of that. When we give the Lord the high places of our heart, all of them, other things will fall into place. And that's what this man wasn't willing to do, and he went away grieved, and he went away sorrowful, and he was sad at that saying, and he went away because he had great possessions, and by keeping those possessions, he lost every one of them and his soul, and we'll be no exception. If that's what we do. If you want to gain life, you have to be willing to sell out. It's not as scary as it sounds. Jesus does not ask us to empty ourselves out, to leave ourselves empty. He asks us to empty ourselves out that He might fill us with something better. Perhaps his real struggle wasn't simply possessions, but lordship. Perhaps he really just wanted Jesus to be his Savior and not Lord. That would be convenient. Be really nice if Jesus could just be my Savior and I got saved and thank the Lord for the blood. Brothers and sisters, thank the Lord for the blood. And now, I'm good. Perhaps this man wanted Jesus to just be his Savior and not his Lord over everything. And perhaps, too, his issue wasn't the human-to-human ethics-type commandments. He was a good man. You'd want him for your neighbor. But he wasn't willing to sell out. He wanted to hold on. And Jesus saw underneath the heart. And after he said, "Master, I've done all of this," then Jesus went up to 1 and 2. Don't worship any other god. Don't erect idols in your life.
Yes.
Don't allow things to come in between your life and my life. And when he got to that part, Jesus saw that he was unwilling to do what was required to keep company with Jesus, to abide, to be planted. And so it said that he went away sorrowful. Jesus gently offered, "How about allowing me to be Lord of all in your life?" And he offers that tonight too. Brothers and sisters, did you know that, I know you do, just because something is lawful, well, the scripture says all things that are lawful might not be expedient. But if I could say it a little differently, it may be lawful, but it may not be helpful to your individual discipleship with Jesus. And so there's some things that Jesus may come along and ask you to do that you don't read in book this, chapter that. But the Holy Spirit comes and he says, you know where it says over there in book, chapter this, verse that, "Yes, Lord, this thing in your life is keeping you from allowing that Bible doctrine to be part of your life. And you need to give it up, or you need to take it on, or you need to release." And it doesn't then mean that we create our own new dispensation Talmud, where now we have all of these things that everybody is supposed to do, and it becomes Bible doctrine for everybody because the Lord showed me that this is what I was supposed to do to help me be spiritual. Not everybody is the same. The Bible doesn't change, but the Lord is working with different hearts, and some people he has to come along and say, "You need to lay that down."
Yes.
Others, he comes along and says, "You need to pick this up."
Yes.
You need to learn to be silent. You need to learn to speak up.
Yes.
But in the end, from a personal level, I don't want to go away sorrowful. I want as best as I know how to give the Lord all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And Lord, help me to love my neighbors myself, because that's really close. And yet it's so human nature to find ways to justify our own actions and our own behaviors. And especially, especially for people that love the Lord. And I think tonight we have a group of people that want to do right. And because we want to do right, we don't want to be found outside of what the Scriptures say. And so with many reasons, sometimes we try to justify things in our lives, sometimes with very loud reasons, because we want so bad to be justified. And perhaps we say, well, the Bible doesn't specifically say that I can't do that. Folks, let's dig deeper than that tonight. Justification by our own reasons doesn't bring us peace. It won't happen that way. Perhaps we win some battles along the way on the debate stage, but we can go away sorrowful. We can live life winning all the debates we have with everyone else about whatever doctrinal point we want to debate and go home feeling empty, without peace and without rest. Jesus wants us to be willing to live according to gospel truth. Not customized, divided heart, divided allegiance, divided lives will always leave you going away sorrowful. We don't have to go away sorrowful. Are you willing tonight? We're being honest with ourselves, right? Are you willing to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or are you more concerned about your preferences and your reasons? Perhaps you're most concerned about just living so that everybody else views you as a Christian. Maybe that's where our primary focus is, just so that nobody can put a finger on us. And then we wonder why we don't have peace. We wonder why we don't have rest that we read about. We have a part to play, and there's no shortcuts. We've got to be all in. So yes, tonight, this is a poignant question. What do I lack? Am I missing something? Is there something else? And tonight, if you've given your heart fully, completely to the Lord and you're clear, be at peace. Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring rest. He doesn't want us to have these camp meetings so that every night the preacher gets up and pounds away so that he just guilts everybody in the house to feeling like they have nothing. That's the enemy too. That's not the message tonight. That's not the message from God tonight. If you're at peace, you're seeking first the kingdom of God. And yeah, there may be some things you don't understand, but with a pure and honest heart, you're looking to the Lord to help lead and guide you. Be at peace and rest. But if tonight you feel that tug and you sense that question start to rise in your mind and your heart of, Lord, what else? It may be that the Lord is gently asking for you to give the rest of your heart. It's not that you're all bad. It's not that you're doing everything wrong. It's just that the Lord, He wants you not to hold anything back. And He beholds you tonight with love. Yes. Not condemnation. He looks out across the congregation tonight with love and with care. And the good shepherd calls out and says, if there is any man that thirsts, come and drink. He calls the unsaved and He calls the saved. Come and drink and be satisfied. What hinders us tonight from answering this wonderful call? Is there anything that hinders us? Again, sometimes it's not doing something else. Sometimes it's giving something up. And I want to ask a question. Are you willing to give up having to feel like that you must earn your salvation in order to have peace with God? Do you know that that's one of the most difficult things for conscientious people to surrender? It's feeling like you have to earn what God gives freely. Lord might be asking you to give that up. Are you willing? It's harder than you think. I have some experience with that. Maybe tonight you are holding something back. One place Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. We covet our own way a lot of times in life. Our life, it does not consist with getting our own way. And yet we try to do that a lot. Is there something you're holding back that the Lord might be asking from you? Are you willing to allow the Lord to be more than just a Savior to you? But are you willing for Him to be Lord of your life? The good news of the gospel tonight is that you too can come. In fact, you can run if you like. And we can kneel. And the promise is that you could have full assurance with full surrender. It's a promise. Not from me, but from the Master. And so He says, come. Maybe we could stand, sing a song.